Let's all say amen. And I hope that we are knowledgeable enough through the Word of God to understand that living in this life allows us an opportunity to seek a home for the soul. Yeah, that's why we live. That's why we do the things we do, because the Bible, Jesus said in John 14 that he prepared a place. He prepared a home for us. And if we do what God has asked us to do here, God has a home for the soul. Amen? Yeah, so I'm excited this morning. I hope you are getting excited too. Amen. That we can assemble and worship God in spirit and in truth. In Acts, the second chapter, as we get our information up, in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 42, Luke penned, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayer. So Luke wrote for us the fact that those are four acts of worship whenever we assemble to give thanks to God. Amen? Yeah, that's why we come to worship. One way that God has designed for man and woman, children, those that are obedient to the Lord, to say thank you to him is to assemble, to participate in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship. And I think I just want to say the word fellowship. The word by definition means to share. And what God has designed is an opportunity for us, from his blessing us, to say thank you, God. Yeah, and we thank him. One of the ways we thank him in giving back to him, not that God needs our money, but it allows us to say, thank you, God, for blessing me, for whatever I have. And so I want to encourage all of us, amen, all of us, to be sure that we look into our hearts and we say thank you to the Lord. And we give to the Lord, because the Lord, the business side of the Lord functions through the giving of those faithful members, those Christians, and the generosity that one has in their giving. So I want to make sure I emphasize that that's a part of our worship to God, the giving back to God. And if I've been one that I have not been given as I properly should, then thank you, Brother Stroud, for bringing that, reminding me. Yeah, that I need to give faithfully to the Lord. Amen? And then Luke wrote, not only that, the breaking of bread. We commune with the Lord. And I think on that the Sunday before, when I, in the afternoon service, I tried to remind us of the suffering that Christ went through, that we can have an opportunity to find a home for our souls. And then we pray to God. Men pray. Yeah, God has commanded. Men pray. And then the Bible says, praising God, we sing. Thank our brother for leading us in song. All the brothers that participated so far in our worship service on this morning. We praise God. And he said, and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. We added one on last week, and there's someone here this morning, and you've been invited, or you're visiting with us, and you're not a Christian according to the Bible. Yeah, there's only one type of Christian, and that's a Christian. Amen? Yeah, so I want to share with you. It's my responsibility. I want you to get an understanding that how you must do what God said do to become a Christian. No one is saved from their past sins until they are obedient to what the Lord has said. Yeah, so I can't be taught wrong and baptized. You have to be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. Yeah. But I have to be taught right. Now, someone can't teach me wrong and then my baptism is right. No, you got to be taught right and then obey that which you are taught. Amen? Right. So we hope this morning that we'll add one again to the Lord's body. Amen? Amen. So on this morning, we're in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I want to say that some messages are congregational in nature, in the sense that the message is to the congregation. Yeah. But this morning message is a message that is individualized. I'm talking to you, and I'm talking to, yeah, it's individualized this morning. This is called a message of self-examination. Now, the title text is Paul wrote to Timothy and said, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. So I put myself there. Well, Paul says, Horace has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Yeah. I put my name in there. You put your name right there. I want to pose three questions that I would like to answer in this morning message. Three questions. Number one, can we love something so much that we are not faithful to Christ? Can we love, including myself, something so much that we forsake Christ? Question number two, does the Bible instruct us to regulate our love? Yeah. Tell us how much to love something and how less to love. Does the Bible instruct us to regulate our love? And then thirdly, what is the one thing we should choose to love in this life according to Jesus? Yeah, those are questions on the floor this morning. And I want to say to all of us to be mindful. Anytime we assemble to worship God, it is my responsibility that our theme, a more spiritual me in 2023. Every time I stand before you and preach the word of God, it is my responsibility that you become more spiritual from the message. Yeah, that's my responsibility. And I know that if you apply this message in every message, that's my desire when I do it, excellent thing, because we got to be more spiritual. We want to go to heaven. So again, those questions. Can we love something so much that we are not faithful to Christ? Number two, does the Bible instruct us to regulate our love? And number three, what is the one thing we should choose to love in this life according to Jesus? Yeah, so I want to let us know, when we're going through, looking at Timothy's message that Paul wrote to Timothy, I want you to know, it also my responsibility is to make this text that was preached, that was wrote, my responsibility also is to make it alive in your life in 2023. You got to be able to use, this is not no dead letter. This is alive. I said that on last week. The word of God is quick and powerful. Yeah, so again, this morning, self-examination, grade yourself. I'm grading myself. And see where we are in the word of God. Amen? Let's look at God's word this morning. Picking up, we finished with verse number 8 on last week, so we pick up where we left off. Paul, in writing to Timothy, He said, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Paul said the word diligent means to make an effort. So Paul was telling him, I want you to make an effort to come to me shortly. I want you to get here. And I want to say to all of us that are Christian, we need to make efforts in the Lord's church. Yeah, I'll talk about that a little more in this message, but we need to make an effort. We need to have diligence when it comes to our service to the Lord. Paul said, my title. He says, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Christians to Galatia, and Titus to Dalmatia. So now, the first question is answered in that text. I ask, can we love something so much that we are not faithful to Christ? Paul identifies that Demas had forsaken him. The word forsaken means to leave and never return to someone who needs help. Yeah. So will we forsake the Lord? Is it something in our lives? We're going to look at some case studies, a couple of case studies this morning, that I love so much that I'm not faithful to Christ. Because all the devil wants you to be is not to be faithful, because either you are or you're not. Yeah. Nowhere in the Bible do I see the Bible talks about, you know, faith. Talk about a little faith and no faith. Yeah. But faithful is when I fulfill that. So again, can I love something so much that it causes me not to be faithful? And again, I'm examining myself now as I'm looking at the Word of God. Paul said, only Luke is with me. He says, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. The word profitable means helping to achieve something. In other words, Paul says here that Mark, he said, bring Mark with you. Why? He is useful. So now, the question as we walk across this text, to the members of Highland Heights, are we serving in at least one ministry? If not, why not? Thank you. Because Paul says here that Mark is useful in the ministry. Each one of us should be a part of a ministry. They're for them. Yeah, I have education ministry. I have spiritual works ministry. I have spiritual needs ministry. And I have soul saving ministry. I should be a part. If I'm a member of Highland Heights, I should be actively a part of one of those ministries. If I'm not, I need to get busy. Yeah. I'm not just a member to come here. Being an active member means I'm participating in a ministry in one of those areas that I choose to serve in. Paul made a statement about Mark. He said, Mark is useful. Yeah, we need people that are useful. And my brother liked to say, put all your oars. In order for this congregation to move forward, we need everybody, not just some people. We need everybody being active in this ministry. Amen. This is our congregation. Yeah. And we should be serving. If not, why not? Brother Stroud, thank you for saying that. I'm going to sign up for it. I'm going to look in that bulletin and then identify the four ministry. I'm going to select one of those ministries, and I'm going to call the contact person, and I'm going to let them know I want to be a part of this ministry. And Paul says, and Tychicus, he said, have I sent to Ephesus? And then he told him, I find a scripture on this text. He said, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus. He said, when thou cometh, he said, bring with thee and the books, but especially the parchments. Now, the word cloak, basically, for us today, it would be, by definition, it's a piece of clothing that is used as a coat for protection against strong weather. So it'd be like a raincoat. He told him, evidently, if the weather was bad, he said, man, bring me my raincoat. He said, storm in here. Bring me my raincoat so I can protect myself. Then he said, not only that, he said, but most important, no, he said, especially. Parchments were writing materials made from the skin of either sheep or goat that he would use to write on, to write those letters. Paul said, now, bring me my coat. I need it. The weather may have been bad there. But he said, but especially, bring me my material so I can write the weather. I get the word of God. And so I'm an inspired writer. The Holy Spirit gave him what to write. I can pin that for those that are Christians. Amen? So that's what Paul said to him. But we're going to talk now about this Demas. Horace has forsaken me. We're going to look at two case studies in the book of Luke. Luke does a good job of writing this, and I want to use Luke this morning. In Luke 14, 26, the second question is answered. Does the Bible instruct us to regulate my love or our love? Note what the Bible says. Jesus said, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters. And Jesus said, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Jesus says that if you're going to come to me, you have to understand that you have to regulate your love. How do you know that, Pastor? It's in the text. The word hate not. That word by definition means to prefer one thing over another. Jesus says that when it comes to you, Brother Stroud, or Horace Stroud, following me, if you're going to come to me, I use myself as example. He said, understand this here. You got to love your father, your mother, your wife, your children, your brother, your sisters, even your own life, less than you love me. Yeah. So God does regulate our love. Because sometimes we're not careful. We can love our children. We can love our parents more than we love the Lord. That can happen. So I can love my wife so much, I put her before the Lord. I can put my children before the Lord. Jesus said, if you love, you can't come to me unless you understand you love them less than you love me. Yeah, that is the answer. Yeah. So I got to understand, and we'll talk about this. I got to understand that life I have to preference some things more than other things. Now, he was talking about family here. Yeah. Yeah. You know, sometimes the old expression that my family flew in town and we having a family reunion and, you know, and, you know, they came here on Friday and they're going to be here through the weekend. They're going to be here on through Monday. And I couldn't just leave them home by themselves. You know, surely my mother come down to stay with me. My mother don't want to go to worship service. Surely you don't expect me to leave my mother at home by herself. Yeah. All right, let me why I'm here. You know, the children, one of the children are sick. Why both parents need to stay at home? Don't take but one. Generally, ain't but one going to take care of the child anyway. Somebody else can come to worship service. Yeah. My brother needs some money, and all I have is my offering. Brother, you know I need some money. I'm hurting. I need some money. Can you help me? Man, all I got is my offering. Can you give me that? See, I got to understand that whenever the Lord blesses me with any type of income, that's a blessing from God. Let me say this, if it's legal. Let me drop that, because some of you guys think y'all playing the numbers and y'all get something. You think, no, the Lord ain't bless you with that. No, that gambling ain't, God ain't nowhere in the Bible. Let me say that. But any money the Lord bless me with, I may not have lights tomorrow, but I'm going to give the Lord his today. That's the mindset. Yeah. God gets his off the top. Yeah. If we don't have nothing to do, nothing else, we gave to the Lord. Yeah. Jesus said, even if you're going to come to your own life, if you don't love that less than me, Jesus said, no, he said, you cannot. What he said? You cannot be my disciple. So to answer the question, does the Bible instruct us to regulate? Surely it does. Yeah, surely it does. Yeah. Love Sister Stroud. Love my children. But they don't come before the Lord. Yeah. And they need to understand that. Yeah. Sometimes you deal with people. People don't understand that. Why you got to go to worship service and leave your... Because I got to go. You mean to say you're going to leave us here by ourselves? No, you can go with me. Yeah, you get up and go with me. You came here to stay with me, be with me. Because we going to worship God. Well, you know, I don't go to worship. That's fine. That's fine. You know, some of us today, you know, you may not even be on the call this afternoon because the Texans and the Cowboys are playing. Yeah, be careful. See, the one thing we got to remember, when Peter said in 1 Peter 3:12 that the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, he also, his eyes are over the unrighteous. When I'm not doing right, God is still watching me. Yeah. So again, God commands us to regulate our love. Amen? And then, let us look at a biblical case study on we're talking about loving less, loving something less. The Bible says in Luke 18, I told you to say in Luke 18, the Bible says the first study on loving less, and a certain ruler asked him being Jesus, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? That's the question of all of us. That's the most important question in the Bible. Yeah. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Same thing. What must I do to be saved? All run together. Jesus answered. Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? He said, none is good save one. That is God. Yeah. When you come to goodness, sinless, that's God. Now, God includes the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're all God. Yeah. God is expressed, we said before, in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So Jesus told him, oh, God is good. And then Jesus now answers his question. He said, thou knowest the commandments. And so evidently this was doing the Mosaic dispensation. So Jesus gave him the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. Yeah. Now I ask the question, are we keeping these commandments of God? Yeah, because any commandment you see in the Old Testament, if you see it rewritten again in the New Testament, then it becomes law for us. Amen? Yeah, so we are in the Christian dispensation. But the Bible teaches me, turn your Bibles to Romans 13 so we can see this. Even though he was talking to him, does this apply to me today? If I read in the New Testament something that was written in the Old Testament, then it's law for me. So the Bible tells us in Romans 13, Paul wrote to them, he said in verse number 8, Romans 13, 8, let's use your Bibles this morning. He says, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, note what he says now, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So even though Jesus was talking to this man about doing the Mosaic dispensation, these commands are still to us. I'll not be committing adultery. I'll not be stealing. I'll not kill nobody. Unless I'm protecting myself. Yeah. I shouldn't bear false witness, lie on nobody. And I should understand whether I had good parents or not, the Lord says to honor them. Amen. Right. Yeah. Well, my mother wasn't all that she's supposed to be. The Lord says honor her. All right. Well, you know, my daddy left us when we was little children, and the Lord says honor him. That's not a conditional scripture.
That's right.
Sometimes we may try to make the word of God conditional. Well, if she do this, I'll do that. No, that's not what the Lord say. And then the man responded to Jesus. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. He said, Lord, that, man, I done that. Yeah. I don't mess with nobody. I don't lie on nobody. I don't steal from nobody. I haven't killed nobody. Yeah, and I respect and honor my parents. Notice he said from my youth up. Yeah. But that also means that when we have parents, and I talked about this when I did a Proverbs 26, that also means that the parents should be teaching the children how to respect and honor them. Yeah, that just don't come on them. You have to teach them to respect you and to honor you. Yeah, sometimes that may mean discipline them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You see, Lord, I've done this. So now, the Lord says to him, I hear you talking. I hear you talking. But now I'm finna check you now. Jesus, I'm finna go there. Now I'm finna take you somewhere. Yeah. You know that song they say, I'll take you there? Yeah. Help me, y'all. Yeah. He said, help me, y'all. I'll take you there. Jesus finna take him somewhere. Jesus said, and when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet liketh thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. See, all of us got that one thing. Yeah. So, what if the Lord asks us to give up something that he knows that we love? That's the question. Remember, this is a lesson of self-examination. So I have to ask myself, what is it I love so much? Yeah. Jesus knew what his was. Jesus know what yours is. Jesus know what mine is. And sometime, as I said, Jesus take us there and ask us to put him before that. Some of us will be like this young man here. The Bible says, and when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. When Jesus told him, Jesus knew what he loved. Jesus knows what you love. And sometimes in life, you know, sometimes we get into these challenges where we have to make a choice. You have to make a choice. And then, now nobody else would know it, but Jesus just called you. Yeah. You know, Harold, when you're playing dominoes, it's called a get right rock. Yeah. Sometimes somebody put a rock on you and you can't do nothing. Next thing you do is say, pass.
There you go.
Yeah. But understand this here. God knows. God's looking in our hand. He knows what we're holding. And sometimes he put a rock on us that you go, in order for you to play, you're going to have to sell out. And that's why the church has challenges moving, because some of us won't sell out for the Lord. Amen. Yeah. Somewhere in the Bible, Jesus says, seek ye first. Kingdom. Somewhere in the Bible. Yeah. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom. Mm-hmm. See, church, I can't be what God won't be until I prioritize life the way God said, not the way I say it. Yeah, my job does not come first. Yeah. When it comes to the fact that, I'm talking about job there, I got a job and I'm off at overtime and I'm back behind on my bill. I'm going to stay behind if I got to work on Sunday. And that Sunday is not mandatory, but it's optional. Yeah. This man was rich. And Jesus said, now you did all that talk. See, that's why we got to work on always, and I say this to the congregation, I want to continuously work on my humility. Mm. Yeah. You never graduate from humility. is something we need to constantly work on. Now, this guy, when he responded to the Lord, we don't know. But Lord, he said, Lord, I done did all this here. Okay. Gotcha. But there's one thing that you like. Ain't but one, and I'm telling you, all of us have that one thing. Ask yourself. Yeah. What is that one thing? Now, the problem he had, look at 1 Timothy. Paul answered this. 1 Timothy, chapter number 6. See, we want to give answers to the scripture. That's the question. I got the answer. Where's the answer as it relates to this young man? 1 Timothy, chapter number 6. And the Bible says in verse number 10, verse number 10, for the love of, y'all see that? For the love of money is the root of, and that should be all kind, because that ain't the only evil, but the love of money is the root of some kind of evil. Yeah, the love of money, the root of all kinds of evil. Yeah. So sometimes we can love money so much, we don't give favor to the Lord. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I go get me something, buy me something, and I know when I bought that, it was going to hinder my giving to the Lord. Yeah. Went out there and got me a new car. Have your giving suffered? Yeah. We bought us a new house. Have your giving suffered? I got to go to Vegas. Have your giving suffered? Ain't nothing wrong with joining yourself. Ain't nothing wrong with having things. Yeah, I've said that because in the stay in 1 Timothy 6, I'll show you where the Bible says that. In verse 17, Paul said, charge them, you there in your Bible, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to what? Enjoy. Yeah. God bless you. You can enjoy your money. But do it lawfully.
Right.
Yeah. Don't be getting on no gambling board and all that kind of mess. Yeah, but you can enjoy yourself. The Bible says that. But then he says this and also, notice verse 18, that they do good, that they be rich in good what?
Works.
Ready to distribute, willing to communicate. That word communicate means to share. God said when God blesses us sometimes, you need to find somebody, just share with them. Give to somebody. Don't just keep it all to yourself. Hoard it to yourself. Yeah, that's the rich fool. I'm going to build me bigger barn. I'm going to buy me this here. What are you doing for other people?
No.
Yeah, because when you die, what you did for yourself go with you. But what you did for others, look at Darker, it goes with other people. Amen? So again, his problem, the love of money. Now, let's look at our second case study. Message is yours. In Luke 10:38, the Bible says, now it came to pass, as they went, that he being Jesus, entered into a certain village. And a certain woman named Martha received him in her house. Yeah. Yeah. She received him in his house. And the Bible says, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Mm-hmm. Lock that part in your heart. Martha had a sister named Mary. Mary, the Bible says, she sat at the feet of Jesus and she heard his word. The Bible says, but Martha, was cumbered about much serving. Yeah, Martha stays busy. And she came to him, Jesus, and said, Lord, doest thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. What she was saying, Lord, you know, I'm doing this, I'm working, and I'm doing this here. Lord, will you go ask Mary to stop what she's doing and come and help me? See, sometimes some of us, we get busy with life. Yeah, we get busy. We the word cumbered in the text means to be distracted or drawn away by something. Some of us, even in the Lord's church, we become distracted and drawn away by other stuff. Yeah. Yeah. Man, you know, I got to do this. I can't, not today. Not today. No. Maybe next Sunday. Yeah, not today, man. I got to do this today. Hello, Martha. Because there can be a Martha in any of us. Mm-hmm. That we're all about doing other stuff. So Jesus said, Martha, you need an answer. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha. Anytime you see a word in the New Testament twice, what the Lord is doing is putting emphasis. When you see truly, truly, he said, Martha, mm-hmm. Martha, mm-hmm. Thou art careful and troubled about many things. Yeah. Yeah. Martha, you got. The word careful here means feeling anxiety. We anxious about something. So Martha, Martha, you anxious. He said, not only that, the word trouble means to worry or be upset. So he said to her, Martha, Martha. He said, girl, child, let me tell you something. You're going to drive yourself crazy. You're going to drive yourself crazy. And the thing about what you drive yourself crazy about, when you finish being crazy, that thing's still going to be happening. Mm. It's still going to be there.
That's right.
Stuff you're worrying about, stuff you're upset about, when you finish going to the emergency room because of anxiety and all the other stuff, when you come back, it's still going to be there.
There you go. Right there.
So you got to back up. I got to ask myself, Brother Stroud, Harsh Stroud, what is it in life that you are anxious about? What is it that you're worried about? I think I had one of my coworkers ask me, though, they said, Mr. Stroud, how do you able to do it? I said, well, one thing, you have to learn how to departmentalize stuff. Yeah, you have to learn how to deal with it and let it. Yeah. But then the Bible tells, I said it before, the Bible says to worry is sin. Yeah. How do you know that? Turn your Bible to Philippians chapter 4. Let me give you an answer to that. Bible says you're careful, troubled about many things. You're anxious about stuff. And some of us, we get anxious and stuff going on, but understand this, is you being anxious ain't going to help it. Yeah. Being anxious is not going to help it. I'm anxious. Well, okay. Your blood pressure go up and all kind of other stuff start happening. Why? Because you're anxious. But notice what the Bible says, Philippians 4:6. Paul wrote to those Christians in Philippi. He said the same word that Jesus used about Martha, Paul says in Philippians 4:6, be careful for what? Yeah. That's Bible. Heart strife. Remember, I talk about myself. Heart strife. Don't be anxious for nothing. Okay, Paul, that sounds good. Well, how do I deal with that? But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. That's the answer. So how do I deal with it, Brother Stroud? I go to God with it. I give it to God. The last time I read the Bible, I never read where God went to sleep. So that means I can give it to God and I can go to sleep. Because I got to get up in the morning to go get some. Yeah. That's why I get on my knees at night. Give everything to God. I was just looking at some information I got back. He was saying, when you go to sleep and you have a lot of stuff on your mind, that keeps you from falling asleep. Worrying about this, worrying about that. That's the answer. I'm going to take it to God. I'm going to do what the Bible say do. In everything, anything that causes me anxiety, anything that attempts me to worry, anything that upset me, I'm going to give it to God.
There you go.
Yeah. And not only deal with God, not only the word prayer means the word, the definition for a prayer is the same word for request. That means when I'm asking God for something. But the word supplication, that goes with verse number 19, but my God shall supply. That means when I need and want something, God does both of those. All I have to do is ask him for it.
Right.
Yeah. Martha, Martha. So my question on the floor to all each of us, remember self-examination. What are you worried about today? Yeah, what is it? You ask yourself. I'm asking myself. What are you worried about? What is it that sometimes keeps you up at night? You can't sleep. You know. Because there's an old expression, you can worry yourself too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm sharing with us from the Word of God as we look through this here. He told Martha, 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 girl, you worry about too much. Yeah. Worry about too much. But then Jesus, as I come to a close, answers. Remember, I asked the question, what is the one thing we should choose to love in this life according to Jesus? Jesus gave the answer in the next verse. Jesus said, but one thing is needful. Yeah. The word needful means something that, that you must have or do. It becomes a necessity. Jesus, you ain't got one thing. Jesus said there's only one thing that is needful. He said, and Mary has chosen the good part. Remember I talked about life is about making choices. He said, which shall not be taken away from her. Mary chose to sit at the feet of Jesus. The most important thing to Mary, yeah, Jesus said, the most important thing in Mary's life was listening to the Word of God. And I know when I listen now, Jesus said, whoever hears these things of mine and
do.
So it's not just Mary just hearing. But life that simple. So my question as I close. I said that, I think Mary said this on last week. Our interest in any attempt to do something is measured by what we consider is value. Okay, so what does that mean, Brother Job? That means whatever's most important to you, you're going to do it. if attending worship service is important to you, you're going to be here. Yeah. And I still say, you know, we have those, and I've reached out to them. We have those that are that actually on our sick and shut in list. But I also understand that we have members that are comfortable in being at home. Yeah. And we need to know what the Bible teaches. Turn your Bible to what I'm on worship service. Turn your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's see that in the Bible. Now, I don't see why we got to come to worship. I can stay at home and just listen to it. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. 1 Corinthians 11. Paul said in verse number 20. 1 Corinthians 11, 20. When ye come together, therefore in one place.
That's right.
This is the place for Highland Heights. This is the one place. And I'm saying, I want to say this to those that may be listening. You're at home and you are able to assemble to the Lord. How important is worshiping with the Lord, coming and fellowshipping with the saints? And encouraging one another.
Man.
We do that when we come together.
Right.
You can't do that at home. I'm going to talk about that more when I come back this afternoon after worship. That's not in my text. So how important is attending worship service? If I'm able to sit at Jesus' feet, hear his word. This morning, we sit at the feet of Jesus. I just preached the word. That's Luke 14, all that Jesus talking. So this morning, we sat at the feet of Jesus and we heard his word. Yeah. Jesus told Martha, there's nothing more important than that than receiving the word of God. How important is it to you? And I'm going to be on time. Let me say that. Encourage all of us. Yeah. Worship service, I'm excited. I want to get here early so I can fellowship. Before worship service, you can talk to people. How you been doing, girl? You doing good? How things going? Going good? Doing good. Yeah, we can spend time with each other. But if I'm coming in at 8:59, there, I got to snap for that communion cup. I may miss it, and I got to sit down. And I'm saying I want this church to be one that we love fellowshipping. We come in early. I tell our senior sister come in. Our brother have when he come in now. They got all set up for them. Their communion cups and their bulletin. So that when they come in, that great group we have from coming from outside, they just walk by, get it, and sit down somewhere. That's showing love. We have to show love to everybody. But I also have to understand that I love worship service. Amen. I'm closing. I asked this question, I'm closed. This afternoon, we're going to have worship service again. Are you on the line in the evening, in the afternoon, listening to another time to sit at Jesus' feet? I'm just a mailman delivering the mail. But these are words that come from the Lord. And I want to encourage us, in order to be more spiritual, sometimes I have to refocus myself. And nothing wrong with that. Sometimes we all get off track. It's easy. We live in a world that's designed to take us off track. And we live in a world that's designed to have peaks and valleys. Yeah, and sometimes we get down in a valley, if we're not careful, we don't know how to come back up. Yeah, but you can't be in no valley and come back up and not come and worship the Lord, because that's where it starts. I get out of my valley when I come and show thanks to God that God is watching me while I'm in the valley.
That's right.
You're here this morning, you're not a Christian. I want to say that one become a Christian by hearing the word of God. Yeah. How do I become a Christian? I'll just condense it this morning. Exhausted my time. There are five things asked of becoming a Christian. I must hear
the word of God, something specific from the word of God. Mm-hmm. Now, what I hear, I must believe it. I must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Then one must repent of their sins. If you're here this morning and you are not a Christian, according to the Bible, then you need to turn from the lifestyle you've been living. Now you turn to Christ. That's where repentance starts. Then you'll come down here this morning, and we had a young brother did on last week. You'll come here and you'll make the confession, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that's based on hearing the fact of the gospel that Jesus Christ died for your sins, he was buried, and he rose again the third day. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4 is where the text is. So you believe that, you repent of your sin, you make the confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then you come down here and you make that confession, then we will water baptize you for the forgiveness of every sin that you've done in your life. God washes them away. Now you're a new creature in Christ. You're a babe in Christ. And now you are a Christian. If you have not done that and done that, been taught by someone in the Lord's church, denominationalism is not proper teaching. I'm saying that in love. You can't be taught wrong and obey right. You have to be taught right and obey what is right.
Amen.
So if you're subject to the invitation in any way, shape, or form, we bid you to come, and together we stand and sing a verse of a hymn. Thank you very much.
Live in me, Lord, in this so sinful world.
Anybody want to obey the Lord this morning?
Only a comfort can afford. Striving along to face temptation so. Tell me where could I go but to the Lord? Now tell me where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Lord, I'm seeking a refuge for my soul. Well, I'm needing a friend to save me.